You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Direct Energy. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert will face the charges against him in a hush money case Thursday. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Patrick Collins says the indictment of former House Speaker Dennis Hastert isn't necessarily a public corruption case.
The conduct appears to have taken place more than 30 years ago at a time when Mr. Hastert was not a public official, and the payments that were agreed to be made and started to be made according to the indictment were made after he was a public official.
The former assistant U.S. attorney says people, even current or former public officials, sometimes fail to realize that failing to be forthright with the FBI is a big mistake.
You'd be surprised how many folks talk to the FBI thinking that they can talk their way around things when they don't realize that any lie they told, it's not like telling a lie in the political world. Tell a lie to the FBI, it's a crime.
Collins says it's not clear if the person identified as Individual A will face any criminal charges in relation to the Dennis Hastert case.
Has Individual A possibly committed a crime? Perhaps. But if Individual A was a victim of an offense a long time ago, it's not improper to ask for compensation for that misconduct. It would be improper to demand that if you don't pay me, I will go public.
Hastert is expected to enter a plea before a federal judge who previously donated $1,500 to his reelection. I'm J.J. Jeffries, USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And good morning and welcome to Modern Design. My name is Rich Scuderi, and I'm here with my guest today, John McLean of Rugs to Riches. Say good morning, John.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning to you. Why don't we start with the weather this morning? Let's see if we're going to get out of this mess with all the horrible rain that we've been having. It seems like some of us have been having flooding. How about out by you? Any flooding?
No, but it's been raining pretty regularly.
Okay, so let's see what the computer is telling us this morning. Okay, the computer is telling us that this morning that we are mostly cloudy with a high of 67 degrees. Well, at least it's warmer than yesterday that was in the 50s. Tonight there's a 30% chance of showers with a low of 55. Looks like it's going to start to warm up now Thursday. There's a 30% chance of showers. My goodness, it's never going to stop raining. We're going to need an arc soon. With a high of 70 degrees, Thursday night a 30% chance of showers with a low of 54. And Friday, yes, mostly cloudy with a high of 74. It's sad when you get excited about it being mostly cloudy, aren't you?
Very much, yeah.
Okay, so John has been a guest on my show before, and I see him often because I share some space in his beautiful store in Flemington, New Jersey. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your history, because you've been in Flemington for quite a long time.
I have. I moved into Flemington in 1994. We were in the old Cinema Plaza building where the movie theater was. That building doesn't exist anymore. They actually took it down to put a bank and a drugstore over there on the property, which we need.
Is that true? What I want to ask you is, because I'm over there a lot, so the profile of your building was in between those two buildings?
Pretty much.
Okay, that's what I wanted to figure, because it was a pretty big building.
The movie theater was in there, and we were in there too.
Right.
And so 3 years ago, that property got sold, and I had to find a new location, so I found a great spot right on the circle, the 20231 circle.
Which, in fact, was, and people seem to remember it by this. I don't know why they remember old stuff better than new stuff, but it was Lennox.
It was the Lennox store, yep, next to the old California Grill.
Right.
That people always remember, too. It's the Kitchen Expo Plaza.
Right.
We're the first building right on Route 31 North as you get off of 202, right before the Wendy's. So I tell people, if you get the Wendy's, you just pass me, and that's where we are.
Exactly. So, how long have you been in this location?
Almost 3 years in the new location, okay. And since 94 in the old location. So we've been in town over 20 years.
So what's your background? How did you wind up getting involved to where you own Rugs to Riches?
I used to work for a company called Sandler & Worth, which is a pretty good-sized carpet and flooring dealer.
Is Sandler & Worth, because you mentioned this a number of times, are they still in business?
No,
they're
not
out of business. And they were family-owned, weren't they?
They were family-owned business.
Okay.
They had 18 or 20 locations. They had one in Flemington right on the circle, which is now the, there's a motorcycle dealership, I think, is in that.
I think, as I recall, and this is a number of years ago, but I remember them, Sandler & Worth, really being synonymous with like sort of upscale brands, right?
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
So when they went out of business and we opened a business, we didn't open in the same location, but in the same strip there.
Right.
We took over that kind of higher quality, nicer material niche that they had.
Right. So so tell me a little bit about what you carry about your store now. One of the things we do in the series that we've been doing now for spring and now summer is, you know, what's trending, what's new. But why don't we start with basically what you carry? Is it solely Broadloom, area rugs? Tell me a little bit about your inventory and what you carry.
I have Oriental rugs, as well as some more contemporary rugs, a lot of updated Broadloom. I'm getting new samples almost every day. I get new samples, so everything I have is really
that's true.
Up to date.
I see the UPS guy over there every day. Yeah. What with Brown, whoever does the Brown, I see him there every day with samples.
But the trend is actually getting away from very ornate, curvilinear, heavily patterned fabrics to much more simple, neutral backgrounds, geometrics, and things are changing in the whole floor covering industry, as well as the whole decorating industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, again, we've been on this long-time trend, a little bit towards more on the contemporary side. But in general, even with people that still have traditional homes, I think things are like more pared down, less ornamented, right? A little bit more streamlined. Even if it's traditional, it's still less ornamented. And one of the things that I certainly did at the beginning of my career is if when somebody wanted a rug, it was a piece that was fringed. It was a piece that was, I hate to use the word oriental, but it was that type of rug. It was a rug that had that sort of a very formal look to it, and people bought investment rugs. Whereas now I see, even though that still exists, I see people, one of the things that you and I have both done is picking really interesting carpet, Broadloom carpet, or pattern carpet, geometric shapes, and then sort of just creating a rug out of that.
You can, and the advantage of that is the size. You can really get any size you want. You're not in the pigeonhole of what the rug comes in. An Oriental rug comes only certain sizes.
Right.
Where this, you have a lot more flexibility, and you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of choices to pick from. It's overwhelming, and you can almost pick anything you want and find anything you want.
And I think it's kind of neat because you get to personalize what you have. You're doing something that's very specific just to your home specifically. You do something that's right for your home specifically. So if you want to make a rug that's an unusual size or an unusual configuration, you can do that.
Yes, you can.
And you can, and also when you're taking a carpet and you can also do things to it. You can sort of alter carpets. Can you like putting binding on them, putting tapes on them, that type of thing?
Sure, we can do a lot of things to the edges. We can add different borders on them. There's a lot of flexibility.
Let's go back to the store. How many square feet do you currently have?
About 3,000 square feet.
So it's a very big store.
It's big. It's not quite as big as the one I was in, but okay. It's still quite large.
Okay. And then maybe who are some of the carpet manufacturers? I think a lot of our listeners are sophisticated. Who are some of the lines that you carry?
In the Broadloom carpet, I carry Masland, okay. One of my big suppliers,
right.
Fabrica,
right.
Stanton, Neurosons, right. A well-known national
nice.
Company, nice product,
right.
Dixie Home.
Uh-huh.
I carry some hard surface, some luxury vinyl tile, some wood, some laminate.
Right.
Also,
I don't think people are necessarily aware that you do carry products other than carpet because you have rugs in the name. So.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to be Rugs to Riches and people didn't even know I carried carpet. They thought I only sold rugs. So.
Yeah, and there's some people that still say Rags to Riches.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. By the way, I was surfing on the web the other day, and I noticed that you have a YouTube video about your store.
Well, that was made by my internet person who was putting together something for me, and they told me about it. I didn't even know it was up there until maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah, you should go take a look at it. I thought it was pretty good. I was kind of impressed. I'm like, wow, that was actually pretty good. So, you know, I know times have changed and we're in a sort of a different time in our economy. What do most people come to you looking for? What do you see as one of the things I think that our listeners are looking for is how to be current. Maybe you have a house that you did 15 years ago and you can't afford to change everything, but maybe you can change a rug or maybe you can do something to make your home look more up to date. What do you see people coming? What are they asking you for?
Well, that's exactly what they're coming in for. They're really updating a look.
Right.
My customers, I have a lot of referral people, a lot of repeat customers. They like what I sell. I've always been servicing them.
Right.
And they like my products.
Right.
And most of the people are just updating color palettes. They're updating rooms.
Right.
And they're looking for something that's different. I still sell Oriental rugs, but a lot of people in a family room or a den or an office, we're seeing different types of things going in there. And they just want something that's fresh looking.
Exactly.
And as you look at decorating magazines and you have them in the store,
right.
You see a lot of more streamlined type products, more
right.
tailored products as
exactly.
opposed to very frilly looking.
Right, less ornamentation.
Less ornamental. Right?
And I think that holds true to everything in design, even like draperies and so on, and rugs are the same, whereas things used to be very ornamented with tassels and fringe and all that stuff. That's just out. So people want simple, beautiful colors, but a little bit more streamlined.
Yeah, I think all through the house, even stair runners, for example. I used to do a lot of oriental design stair runners. A lot of people
right.
are replacing them, again, with things that are more tailored, simple patterns,
right.
neutral colors.
I like stair runners a lot because allow you to, not only from an aesthetic point, to give the room a look, but also I think for traction. I know one of the reasons I put a stair runner on my last house is that I had an older pet and it really made a difference with their mobility up and down stairs.
We have that issue a lot. A lot of times people move into a house and they have to do it because the pet won't go up or down the stairs.
It really is an issue for them, especially with dogs in particular.
And young children and socks and
right.
things like that. You know, it takes one fall and that people, you know, want
That's
to get the stairs taken care of.
I always think a stair runner is a good thing. Okay, well, we're about to go to our first set of commercials, and we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community, bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at HunterdonChamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
And we are back with Modern Design. If you're just tuning into our show now, my guest today happens to be John McLean of Rugs to Riches. Is it McLean or McLean? How do you pronounce it?
Either way.
Okay, clean. Well, speaking of cleaning, which is a great and kind of a hokey segue, is during when we were on commercial break, we were talking about one of the things that people may not know that you do, is that you do rug cleaning. And all of us have rugs. I mean, you know, unless your house is wall-to-wall carpeting from beginning to end, all of us have rugs. And the difference a rug, I've seen the rugs come in and go back out clean, are just unbelievable. So the rug cleaning is something that you definitely do, correct?
We do. We've been doing it for over 20 years, and we do it in Flemington. We don't send it out to another source, and it's done right here in town.
That's great. And usually, what's the typical turnaround time to do a rug?
It depends on how many rugs are in, but normally about 2 weeks.
Oh, so it's a quick turnaround time as far as rugs.
And if you need it faster, you know, if you let us know, we can usually accommodate most requests.
And I do know that you have a van because I have borrowed it. Yeah. You do. Can you pick up and drop off big rugs if they're a problem?
Yeah, normally anything 8x10 or larger room size rugs we'll pick up. Small rugs we ask to people bring them in. We also do repairs. I have a fellow that can do all kinds of repairs on hand knotted rugs.
What about if you have a rug? That you, let's say it's you have a rug and you don't, it's an investment rug. Do you ever alter those rugs? Do you ever do things to them? Sometimes people have bought rugs in the past and I know they have fringe on them and the fringe becomes very frayed and dirty, or maybe you want to just take it off or do something to them. Do you ever alter rugs at all?
I can if it is a high quality investment quality rug, I can have the fringe actually re-sewn like it was originally in the original rug to hold the value of the rug.
Right.
Or I can remove it and sew fringe on. It would give you the same type of look, but it wouldn't keep the integrity of the rug like the original rug.
Right.
But I can do the edges of the rug, the serging of the rug. I can even repair holes and defects in the center of the rug.
Oh, that's great. So really, if you're, you know, if my listeners out there are have rugs that they've spent money on and they become worn all the time, because what is a rug, what happens to a rug? It gets stepped on. There's nothing worse than that, right? There's a rug gets stepped on over time, it's going to show wear no matter what kind of a rug it is. So bring them in, have your rugs cleaned. They're just, it's such a difference to have your rugs cleaned, or maybe have them looked at. Maybe if there's an issue with the rugs becoming frayed on the end, that's certainly you're a great resource as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and if you keep up with the maintenance and repair on a rug, the rug, a good rug would really last forever.
Absolutely.
You know, I recommend a rug be cleaned every 2 years, you know, okay. If it's in a trafficked area. In a dining room, for example, maybe every 3 to 4 years. But you want to maintain the rug, get all the soil that's worked its way in there, get it out of it. And keep the rug fresh.
What do they normally clean rugs with? I mean, is water bad for a rug? Let's say somebody you have a party and somebody inevitably stains something. What's the first or best source of handling that situation?
The first thing I tell people to use is seltzer water or soap and water.
Okay.
No chemicals, because you don't know if the dyes will run. You don't know
exactly
what's going to happen.
You can make a rug run, can't you?
Most wool rugs or nylon rugs, if you can see the accident happen, you can flush it out. Normally, you'll have good success removing the stain. If it's sitting there for a number of years under a piece of furniture, the chances aren't as good of removing the stain.
So I have a party and someone smells, not that they're going to be invited back after that, but they spill red wine on my dining room carpet. So the best thing to do is what? Is it to blot?
Or give them white wine.
That's it. Serve white beverages only. You heard it first on Modern Design. But anyway, so they spill something on your carpet. Is the best thing to blot or blot with water?
Yeah, fresh water.
Or seltzer water,
because seltzer water will bring stuff up to the surface because it has bubbles in it.
Okay.
And it won't change the color or the texture of the rug. And then use a white towel. Don't use a towel that has color in it.
Oh, see, that's a smart tip, too.
And,
now, if you used a soap, would you use a mild soap like a Dawn, or would you
recommend? Yeah, just Ivory Liquid Dawn, but very little. You know, people tend to overdo it. Fresh water normally would work fine.
Can soap sort of stain a rug in itself? Let's say your field is like ivory or white. Maybe the soap would stain a rug.
It normally wouldn't unless you use so much of it that it's changing the pile of the rug. A lot of people like a little soap works, so a lot of soap works better. That really isn't the method.
Right.
And if you leave the soap in the body of the rug, what will happen is dirt will attract to that because it gets sticky over time.
Oh, sure.
And that makes it look discolored, but the soap itself isn't discoloring the rug.
Okay, but before we went to our last set of commercials, you and I were talking a little bit about, and this is something that you've said all the time, is that rugs are their fashion. So, again, they follow the lines of what's happening in the stores and clothing and so on. So what are some of the things that I have been seeing is sort of a shift in color. And I've said this before to you, and I've said this before to a lot of my clients. In the past, there was a big, a surge of reds and gold. I saw lots of reds and gold and yellows and warm colors.
The Tuscan colors.
Tuscan colors, rich, warm colors. I see that going away, and I see much more of a trend for blues, grays, cool colors, and I'm wondering if that's what you're also saying.
That is true. If you see the samples that are coming in all the time now, they're mostly neutral tones. The pattern will have 6 or 8 colors in it, and they'll all be neutral for the most part.
Right.
Because it's a good base to work with. You can decorate around neutrals. You can add color with pillows and artwork in the room and things like that.
Right.
But the neutral's giving you a base. We're also seeing a lot more solid furniture, leathers.
Right.
Faux leathers, things like that. We're not seeing floral fabrics on sofas anymore.
Exactly, which is very true. So there's a counterbalance. So if you have a very plain sofa, maybe you want to have more of a design on your carpet.
Yes, yeah, but a lot of times you see a lot more straight line, a lot more angles as opposed to flowers now.
Exactly. You know, this is something I've always wondered. Carpet comes, of course, a broadloom carpet and quite a different fibers. What are some of the different materials that carpet comes in, and what would you recommend for the best use, the longest term, or the best quality carpet?
The main fibers are wool, nylon, polypropylene.
Okay.
You'll see some carpet made of polyester.
Okay.
It's not a great fiber. You're seeing it in some of the big box stores because it's a price point.
Right.
If you're looking for good wear, it's not going to give you good wear over time. But wool, nylon, polypropylene are your main fibers.
What do you recommend?
It depends on where you're putting it. For example, if you're going to do a basement or where there's moisture, I wouldn't put wool because it might take on an odor.
Okay.
Nylon's very resilient. It's the number one fiber for a number of years. It's what most wall-to-wall carpet is made of. But most of the pattern carpets are made of wool.
Wool. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and I read once, and I don't know if this is true or not, a lot of the nylon carpets, are they made from recycled products, or is that a separate thing completely?
No, there was a time when they were making things out of polypropylene, like Coke bottles.
Right.
They were making some
carpet out of that. So that's polypropylene. Okay.
Polypropylene.
Are we not seeing that as much?
You're seeing some of it. Polypropylene is mostly in some pattern materials.
Okay.
It's kind of shiny, and the look in most carpet today is a little more matte finish.
Yeah,
so
that's part of it. That's a trend here in modern design, is that we see a lot of matte finishes on everything. Floors themselves, too.
Oh, yeah, the tiles and so forth are all
everything
matte.
Everything is matte, and the wood that I see that you do, a lot of the samples are flat.
That's right.
Yeah. So as far as fashion, what else are you seeing as far as flooring in general? And it doesn't have to necessarily be just carpet. One of the things that you carry, which, again, I don't think people realize, is that you carry wood. You carry everything from, well, I'll let you say, you carry everything from, like, laminate,
I have
right?
laminates. I have solid wood. I have engineered wood. I have luxury vinyl tile that looks like wood and tile.
Right.
They're all options that work in certain conditions. I have a laminate wood that's 100% waterproof now, so if you have a situation where you used to get water, it's the core of it is actually plastic, so that it won't swell up like the old laminate wood, and you can put it in a moist condition like that.
No, so that, would that be a good basement? I've always avoided putting, when I'm doing a basement, I always avoided putting laminates in basement because I was told that the old laminates would like sort of soften and swell and be like a sponge and absorb the water. So this new product would maybe be a good basement choice?
It would, although when we do, we can put laminate in a basement. We have to run a moisture test on the concrete. If it's okay. dry, you shouldn't have any issues. But if you got flooded, it would absolutely swell up. This new product would not swell up if it got wet.
And is there some sort of a vapor barrier or something that you put down when you're putting, when you're doing a basement and you're putting carpet or any sort of surface on a basement, is there some sort of an additional layer that's required?
With a hard surface, if we're going to do a laminate or engineered wood, I would put a vapor barrier. It's a very thin pad, has a vapor barrier on it. Uh-huh. With a carpet installation, I can either glue down,
okay,
or I can put a pad. We wouldn't put a vapor barrier because you want that to breathe.
Well, that's true. You want things to breathe as well. That being said, let's say in your own basement, if you have a basement yourself, what material would you probably put in your own basement if you were going to finish it?
It depends on what I was doing. If I had multiple areas, I might have some carpet and so areas where I wanted some more softness underfoot. But some of the engineered products today, the laminates are fabulous looking. They look like very expensive wood.
Don't you think in the beginning that – and tell our listeners what laminate actually is as opposed to wood.
Well, a real laminate is a number of materials that are bonded together, and the wear layer is a piece of plastic actually on top.
Right.
Where an engineered wood, the wear layer on top is a piece of actual wood that's sandwiched with other wood.
Right. So laminate is basically sort of a
plastic.
Picture.
Correct.
It's an actual image of wood, but
correct.
Not wood.
Well, you'll see them today. They look like they're hand scraped wood. You can't even tell.
They're so sophisticated. They used to look plasticky in the beginning. Now they look amazing. Then you have engineered wood, which is like a thin veneer surface of
that's
wood.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's different woods underneath it, but not necessarily the same quality as the wood that's
correct.
On top.
If you think of like a thin piece of thin plywood, and then the top layer would be a wood.
And then finally you have wood. But what would be the application, or why would somebody want to use engineered as opposed to regular wood?
If it's going over concrete, you can't nail regular wood into concrete.
Right.
So wood, real wood, 3/4 inch solid wood has to go above grade on a wood floor where it can be nailed into it.
Correct. Because you have to have joists, you have to have things to attach it to.
Right. Okay. You have to nail to a floor. Now, the other floor, like if you wanted to put an engineer product over a linoleum floor in a kitchen, or you want to put it over a tile floor in another room, you can put it directly over that material as long as we can make the transition. It's an easier installation.
What's the you know, I've been in installations where we went over and existing floors or not. What's the ideal situation to go into when you're installing your product? Is it better to have the floor version and nothing on it, or when is it ever better to just go over an existing product?
If the existing floor is down firmly and we test it and it's down, I can usually go over it with another hard surface.
Okay.
With carpet, we're going to remove the old carpet and we're going to put the carpet and the pad over the existing floor. We can put carpet over concrete, we can put a carpet over tile, we can put it over wood. It's not an issue.
Wow, so you can really put carpet over anything.
Yeah, we actually just did a nice job in New Hope where we had to drill through the tile to put the tackless in and then install the carpet over ceramic tile.
And I bet you when you were done, you probably couldn't even tell.
Couldn't tell.
Unbelievable. Okay, we're about to go to news, and we will be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. An American tourist killed on a safari in South Africa has been identified as a New York woman. Scott Simpson, who manages the Lion Park near Johannesburg, says Catherine Chappell was killed after rolling down her window to snap photos of a lioness.
The lady was busy taking pictures of it. The lion then sort of lunged at the car, and it bit the lady through the window.
Chappell was a special effects editor on the hit HBO series Game of Thrones. The 29-year-old was in Africa to raise money for an anti-poaching nonprofit that protects animals. A tour guide was injured and suffered a heart attack while trying to stop the attack. A memorial service for Chappell is set to take place on Saturday. The National Security Agency is again collecting Americans' phone records. The law President Obama signed Tuesday reinstates federal surveillance powers that expired last weekend. Phone data will now be stored by phone companies, not the NSA. National security officials will have to go get court orders to access individual records. This is USA Headline News.
Now that Rite Aid has joined the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is even more rewarding because now you get a second easy way to save. That's right. On top of the amazing values you enjoy with Wellness Plus points, your new card gives you Plenty points, which can be earned in one place and used for savings in another. Earn and use your Plenty points at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon, and Mobil, and other participating partners. It's even more of the value you love. It's Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your new card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
GEICO RV presents Reflections from the Road.
After a few hours riding in my RV, I get in the zone. It's just me, the road, and the savings I get with GEICO RV insurance. There's no more worries, no more 9-to-5 hustle. It's like I'm a caged animal set free. What's that? Is it a grizzly bear? No, it's just me switching to GEICO RV insurance. Saving money, wild and free.
GEICO, for your RV, trailer, or camper. See how much you could save.
Boston police and the FBI say they killed a figure in a terrorism investigation after an interview attempt went bad. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
Boston Police Commissioner William Evans says 26-year-old Usama Rahim, who was under 24-hour surveillance, was threatening a police officer and an FBI agent with a large military knife when they shot him.
Both the FBI and the Boston police did everything they could possibly do to get this individual to drop his knife, and at some point, unfortunately, we had to take his life.
Authorities aren't saying why Rahim was being watched, just that it was part of a terrorism investigation. Evans says the confrontation happened on a street in Roslindale just after 7 in the morning. Rahim's brother says he was just standing on a street corner waiting for a bus to work when he was shot. I'm Warren Levinson.
Be sure to look us up online, our website, usaheadlinenews.com, and you can also find us on Facebook, where we're always looking for new friends, or just give us a like. I'm J.J. Jeffries, USA Headline News.
Gorgeous! Oh, you are the most beautiful bride I've ever photographed.
Oh!
Yes! I am witnessing a fairy tale unfold!
Oh, I don't want this day to end.
Okay, work the veil. Uh-huh. Okay, now sniff the bouquet.
Oh, okay.
Join my rewards program.
Wait, what?
Well, for your next wedding.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, Rite Aid, and Direct Energy. There's Plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert will face the charges against him in a hush money case Thursday. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Patrick Collins says the indictment of former House Speaker Dennis Hastert isn't necessarily a public corruption case.
The conduct appears to have taken place more than 30 years ago at a time when Mr. Hastert was not a public official, and the payments that were agreed to be made and started to be made, according to the indictment, were made after he was a public official.
The former assistant U.S. attorney says people, even current or former public officials, sometimes fail to realize that failing to be forthright with the FBI is a big mistake.
You'd be surprised how many folks talk to the FBI thinking that they can talk their way around things when they don't realize that any lie they told, it's not like telling a lie in the political world. To tell a lie to the FBI, it's a crime.
Collins says it's not clear if the person identified as Individual A will face any criminal charges in relation to the Dennis Hastert case.
Has Individual A possibly committed a crime? Perhaps. But if Individual A was a victim of an offense a long time ago, it's not improper to ask for compensation for that misconduct. It would be improper to demand that if you don't pay me, I will go public.
Hastert is expected to enter a plea before a federal judge who previously donated $1,500 to his reelection. I'm J.J. Jeffries, USA Headline News.
We are back with Modern Design. Sorry about that little technical difficulty there. And I'm with John McClain from Rugs to Riches. John, tell us your address, where you're located.
In the Kitchen Expo Plaza, which is number 1, Route 31 in Flemington. We're right on the circle where 202 and 31 split.
And what is your phone number?
It's 908-782-8010.
And do you have a website?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, then look for me. I'm linked.
Just get to the store.
Just get to the store. And if you want to reach me, I have some space in John's store. It's called The Design Room within Rugs to Riches. And I'm also located at 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey. And my phone number is 908-884-0770. Before we went to break, we were talking about what to do in basements and what you can do for flooring surfaces in basements. And I thought it was kind of interesting because I think there's a sort of a misnomer about what wood is and what wood isn't. So we were talking about the differences of wood, and John was good enough to explain to us that there are basically three things that people sort of maybe classify as wood. One happens to be laminate, which you were saying was basically a picture of wood, and it's sort of a, I want to say plastic, but some sort of
a... It is. It's plastic, but it has a texture to it. It
looks texture, like a vinyl product. But now they're sort of more matte finish, and they look much more realistic. Mm-hmm. Then you have an engineered surface, which happens to be like a veneer, or the top is a cherry or whatever type of wood. And then there are other supporting woods of a different caliber underneath it.
Correct.
And then finally, you have hardwood floors.
That's right.
What's a typical thickness or density of a hardwood floor? Do they vary?
Well, solid wood is normally 3/4 inch thick. That's kind of the industry standard. When you're dealing with solid nailed down wood. The laminates are probably about 1/2 inch thick with all the other layers and so forth.
The reason I ask that is that I have a client who has multiple sclerosis, and she has a hard time with walking. And you know, more and more I'm finding people that have issues with walking. And one of the issues I have when I see renovations and people have work done and they build up a floor, and then one floor is like tremendously hard. You ever go to a house where somebody did it themselves or whatever, and they go from one room to the next, and there's these huge transitions.
More so with tile.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people put that layer down before
the backer,
they put their tile in.
The backer board.
And it's so high.
It's horrible.
Transition has to be tremendous.
What's your sort of general rule of thumb? I think it's very important for floors to be even. I think that's very important to me aesthetically and just from a practical standpoint for floors to be even. How do you feel in regards to that when someone goes from tile to hardwood or tile to, you know, whatever, there's a transition?
It depends on if it's an existing home, you really have to deal with what's there. If there's carpet in a room and we're taking it up and we put wood in, there's normally not much of a problem because you're taking some height and putting some height in.
Let's talk about that. Let's say you're doing new carpet and you're butting up to a surface that's either wood or tile. Do you have the ability to do something to sort of pump that floor up a little bit so that it looks more even?
You can. You can get a little bit out of it. You can trim it a little bit.
Okay.
Most tiles and woods have transition pieces that actually match the woods.
Right.
That you can use if it's going to carpet. Then what I would do is put the tackless strip, which holds the carpet, right up against your transition and finish it without.
Right.
So there's no other transition. It would be a nice flat transition.
You know, it's funny. My dad built our house in 1970, which shows you how old I am. But when he built our house, I remember these really shiny gold brass looking transitions in every room. I'm not seeing that. I'm not noticing very big transitions. They're much more subtle now. What are people using for transition pieces? And by that, listeners, I mean when you go from one carpet to the next or to a different floor, you need to end it somehow. So what are you using as transition pieces normally?
It depends on the job. Again, if it's going to carpet to carpet, there would be no transition. It would just be seamed together normally in a doorway, and there would be no transition pieces.
And how does that work if you're butting up to carpeting that's existing there? It's the same.
I would just cut, when we cut that other carpet out, we would leave a edge that we can seam it to, and it would get seamed. Normally, it's a doorway where it would get seamed.
Right.
That's where it would be seamed.
And it's seamed to the doorway to existing.
It would be
carpeting.
A natural transition with
exactly.
no transition piece, so to speak. When you're using transition pieces or moldings, it's usually to reduce or raise height. If the heights are the same, you can usually not. You don't have to worry about it.
So you actually can take, you can go from carpet if you wanted to another surface if it's the same height without a transition.
Normally, I can turn and tack it, you know, with no transition.
So there's no aesthetic look to it. It's more just about being practical and being making it sort of a leveler.
Right. The woman that you're talking about, for example, if she's in a walker or in a wheelchair,
right.
You have to be a little more careful with what you're doing transition-wise
because
you don't want any type of hump or something for her to trip on.
Exactly.
But, you know, because I actually go and look at every job and I see the job, I can give you the options when I'm at the house. It's not like some places use a measuring service. The end user and the dealer don't see the job together.
No, but I would actually see it, and
we could take care of that, all those types of things when I'm in the house.
And have your wealth of experience to probably do what's the right choice, which is really good. So let's talk about what you're seeing as far as carpeting in general? Do you see changes coming with carpeting? Do you see, you know, you're getting new samples every day. What are you seeing that you like? I'm seeing a lot of geometrics, more and more. I'm seeing geometric patterns. And I think maybe one of the reasons for that is something that you said, which was very perceptive, is that couches are not printed anymore. The furniture is neutral. We're using microfiber. We're using solid. We're using a lot of solid. So you bringing your fashion in with your flooring.
That's right.
So are you seeing a lot of that? What designs are you seeing for flooring? Are you seeing
seeing some bigger scale patterns now in floor? Like, for example, a family room, which is normally a good size room, you can carry a larger scale pattern on a floor.
Right.
Especially if you're using no pattern, like a micro suede or a leather on your sofas.
Right.
And you can carry a little bit larger scale pattern on the floor.
Exactly.
The other thing that's huge are shag. Shag is still big. I probably have 20 more lines of shag, all different deniers, all different size shags, different colors.
You know, when shag was first back again, I think people kind of laughed at it a little bit, don't you? I think it took a while for people to sort of embrace that.
It took a while for the people out here to embrace it.
Right.
It was actually quite big in, you know, because of where we are geographically.
A lot
of things work its way out from, like, say, New York, so that trend will be there a year, 2 years before it's really out here.
Right.
So the shag did take a while to go here, but it's big. People like how it feels underfoot. It makes beautiful area rugs. It goes great in a family room.
Right.
And I put them in very, very formal homes, you know, under formal dining room tables. They just really carry themselves very well.
Exactly. And I think that part of the reason maybe the shag took a little while to catch on here is because more of the homes here tend to be the traditional home, so it wasn't necessarily a good fit.
That's right. This is an area of very traditional homes. You don't see a lot of contemporary homes out here.
And that's something that I can ask you, and something that, frankly, sometimes I struggle with, because most of the people that I work with have traditional homes. They did their home 10 or 15 years ago. They did things very well. And they still have a good-looking home, but they just want to make it a little bit more modern. And I'm wondering if that's something that you see as well.
I do. And, you know, the thing, 15 years ago, if you look at the amount of product I have today as opposed to 15 years ago or 20 years ago,
right,
there's so many great-looking things to put on the floor today. It's like,
right,
you know, people, it should be exciting to buy new carpet. People, it shouldn't be a chore. People, they make it so hard. It should be exciting. It's like buying a piece of furniture. It's just, I don't know. To me, it's to put a rug in a room and it makes the whole room complete. It's like exciting to see it.
And I do say that. I say that with tile, it's never been better to do tile. And also with carpeting and flooring, it's never been, there are so many choices now. It used to be you had these piles of these, you know, I'm not maybe using the terminology, cut pile, pick beige, this, that.
Fuzzy side up.
Yeah, it wasn't very interesting.
No.
And now you can create statements. There's so much you can do with it. And there's, you know, and I think you deal with a lot of different price points. So it's not necessarily super exclusive. You do certainly have very high-end lines. But also, there are very affordable choices to do that as well.
There are. You can do rooms very reasonably today. The material is probably better than it ever was. It holds up well.
Right.
You know, if you buy something that you don't have to buy top of the line material, but you buy something good quality, it will last. If you have children, you have pets, you want it to last in your rooms, that you can really get good use.
What I wanted to talk about a little bit, and I still question this, what's the best, and I guess I should preface it by saying, when you have a rug and you put a rug down and you don't want the rug to slip, what's the best, first of all, should there be something underneath an area rug? Let's say I'm putting in an 8x10 area rug in a family room. I buy it from you. You bring it. Should there be a pad under it? Should there be nothing under it? What should be underneath that rug? Or is that going to damage what's underneath it? Because
No.
I hear mixed messages about that. Let's say I have hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm buying an area rug. There wasn't one there before. I'm buying an area rug. What should go underneath that? Or should anything go underneath that?
Well, something definitely should go underneath it. It really depends if furniture is going to sit on the rug, if the rug is going to be freestanding.
Okay.
If the rug has going to have a propensity to move because nothing's sitting on it. If you have bought an 8x10 rug and had a coffee table sitting on it and the front legs are the sofas, I would use a felt pad. It won't stick to the floor.
Okay.
But you want to have a pad. It's going to protect the floor. It's going to protect the back of the rug from any type of abrasion. So you really want to have a pad. If you're doing small rugs in hallways or front door rugs, foyer rugs, you do want to have a very thin non-skid material that'll keep the rug down. Otherwise, the rug will be scooting all over.
Are there any things, are there any mats or something that you avoid? Because I've seen this where people have put down things underneath to keep a rug non-skid and they ruin their wood floor.
They do. There's some of the really inexpensive non-skid mats are made of clay composite.
Oh, is that it?
And as the clay dries out, when you take the pad up, you see the pattern of that rug in the hardwood floor because it's been breaking down. The clay's drying out.
Wow. Believe it or not, we're back to commercials. Seems like we have a lot of commercials today, doesn't it, John?
Got to pay the bills.
Yeah, got to pay the bills. I understand that. So we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Ashore Shred. I love being a member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Active involvement in it has given us numerous opportunities to meet other business owners and simultaneously has helped Ashore Shred to grow.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today. You're listening to hunterdonchamberradio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Rich Scuderi, and if you're just tuning into my show for the first time, Modern Design is a new program that started at the beginning of this year. And what we do each Wednesday from 10 to 11 is talk about trends, talk about what's happening in home fashions today, things that you can do to improve your home, realistic and affordable solutions to make your house and your life better. If you ever want to reach me, I do a lot of consultations, both color consultations and just general consultations. If you'd like to talk to me or give me what your situation is, I can come out and give you an honest evaluation of your home and give you some great ideas. You can do it yourself or you can have me assist you. My phone number at Maven Hill Designs is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. I also wanted to remind you that we do have a new show that started 3 weeks ago. We have an additional show called Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas that runs live also on Wednesday between 2 to 3. And in that time, between 2 and 3 Eastern Standard Time, you can call our phone lines here, which is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410 from 2 to 3, and call in with your design questions and free of charge. We'll go through them and hopefully help you as well as our listeners. So before commercial break, I was with John McClain from Rugs to Riches, and he's fidgeting, but he's here. And we're talking about carpet and hardwood floors as fashion. And we're talking about trends that we're seeing. And to summarize, we're seeing lots of blues and grays and neutral tones, but we're seeing a lot of patterns on carpets. And sort of, even though Oriental rugs will always be in style and are beautiful, we're also seeing a lot of carpets being made that are more of contemporary carpets with simpler lines and geometric shapes. Anything that you like personally? I mean, I think you have pretty good taste. Are things that you see out there that you like?
Well, I do like Oriental rugs. I mean, my house is...
Oh, Oriental rugs.
Yeah, a lot of... But they're mostly geometric tribal pieces.
Right.
But they're Oriental rugs.
Right.
But I do like a lot of the new fabrics that are coming in. I mean, when I get boxes of samples, some of the stuff really looks great.
And there's
the application, I can just see them working in so many applications in a home.
And the freshness of them, because it's something so different, is kind of nice too, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, like you were saying earlier in the program, like we had gold and black and red for so long.
And
you know, it sounds a little boring, taupe and gray.
Right.
But the way they're made and the way the colors are put together in them, they really make a statement, even though they're very subtle.
Yep, there's like a freshness to them,
there
too,
is.
I think. And sometimes just you need a change. I mean, maybe you need to pull that rug up for a while and just try something different. I mean, you can always go back to it. And that's what I say to my listeners all the time. You don't have to do a full-scale renovation to change the look of your space. Change your furniture around. Take a rug out and do something different. Come in and have, you know, take your Oriental rug up, have it cleaned, put it away for a while, and have you make a rug for them, something a little bit different, a little bit more up to date, a little bit more contemporary. Change the look, change your pictures a little bit.
A little bit of paint. I mean,
right.
You know, paint and a new rug can change,
your
whole room.
Exactly.
You know, to change everything in the room to make a totally different room.
Exactly. But it does keep things interesting because, you know, days pass and things certainly get stale and so on. You know, one of the things I want to go back to, because I'm certainly confused about this, and I hear this from my clients all the time, is again, underlayments for rugs. So let's take it two different ways. If I buy an area rug from you, what do you normally put down underneath an area rug?
I would normally put either a felt pad down or
okay.
something that's a non-skid material if it's a small rug that needs to not move around.
So a felt pad is dual purpose from what I'm understanding from you. One is it prevents sort of skidding, but the other part is it protects what the carpet or
it
the
won't
floor?
Really, a felt pad doesn't really have a non-skid property to it.
Well, I guess it doesn't, does it?
But okay. If you were, suppose you're putting a rug under a dining room table or you're putting a rug in a living room where furniture is going to sit on it,
okay.
You don't need a non-skid property
okay.
to it. The felt is actually made of a synthetic fabric. It doesn't have anything that would stick to the floor.
Okay.
But if you have hall runners, foyer rugs, rugs in kitchens around the stove and things like that, you do need to have something that has a non-skid property. Otherwise, the rug's going to be moving around on a slick surface.
But I guess that what I was trying to get at is I've seen in homes that I've gone into, and I may go into homes, you know, 2-3 a day every day for as long as I've been doing this, and sometimes I see rugs where people don't have anything underneath, and the rug loses its body, sort of. And even if it's on hardwood floors, I've seen it where it almost looks like you can see the floor underneath it. You know what I'm saying? Sort of the because from the wear and time, because there's no buffer between the wood and the carpet. So is it not good for your rug to not have something underneath
it? All rugs should have something underneath it.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It sort of like lost its...
It changed its texture.
It did. It changed its texture.
Yeah, because the pad is actually acting almost like a shock absorber between your feet and the floor.
So that's what I was getting at. It's not just for skinning and for being safe, but it's also good for the rug.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Every rug that I have, that I sell, goes out my door, that we deliver, has some kind of pad.
Padding underneath it. Okay. Very good. And then... as far as hardwood floors, because we haven't touched that much on what you sell a nice selection of hardwood floors and engineered wood floors. What are some of the trends that you're seeing with style-wise with the hardwood floors?
A lot more dark color floors. The real light color floor isn't as popular now. It used to be very popular, very light color. Something a little deeper in color, wider boards. We're seeing a lot of things that are wider size planks, random width planks.
Right.
Things are just so much more interesting. The amount of choices is tremendous.
Exactly.
And for a person who says, I can't find what I like today, I just don't think they're looking.
I happen to agree with that. And with I love dark floors and I like wide boards. I'm not so crazy necessarily about some of the hand scrape stuff. Some of it's... good. Some of it, I don't know. I'm wondering that it might be a little bit trendy. One of the things I try to be very conscious of when I'm putting a hard surface down is not to go too trendy, because you're going to be living it with it for a long time. How do you feel about hand scraped?
It depends on the house. Sometimes in a more rustic situation where you want that distressed look,
right?
It looks fabulous.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't look contrived. They make it so natural looking.
Exactly.
But if you're doing a lodge type room or a big family room with beams, and you want something that looks like that, as opposed to a crispy, shiny wood floor, that it suits the purpose and it looks good.
You painted a good picture there, actually, of how that would be a good solution. The thing that, because we only have about a minute left, so I wanted to finish up with you. The thing that I want to leave our listeners with today is that, first of all, come check John at Rugs to Riches.
Yeah, come see what I have.
It's not just rugs, and your phone number again is?
908-782-8010.
Right. And you don't have to redo your whole house. You don't have to replace everything. Come in and take a look at some of his new product line. He really has very interesting things. You could do, something as simple as get your rugs cleaned. That makes a big difference. Or maybe make a runner, or just do something to update your home. He has all price points available to you. Anything else in this last minute that you want to get over to our listeners?
No, but come down and see my store. I think you'll be really happy with the selection I carry, and thanks for having me on.
Exactly. And again, for those of you that are going to tune in later, I really love you to take a look at our other show. From 2 to 3, we have Design Dilemmas, and that's where you can call in Eastern Standard Time, 2 o'clock. You can call in with your design questions. The phone number for our show, Design Dilemmas, is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. And until I see you at 2 o'clock, go out there, try to see if you can duck the rain and get a little, get out there and get some fresh air. And we'll see you at 2 o'clock here back in the studios for Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. Thank you all, and have a terrific day.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. 6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
No violence regarding whatever motive.